Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Christopher Caldwell's The Age of Entitlement America. Since the 60s is a work of political history and conservative cultural criticism published in 220, the book examines how the reforms, conflicts, and institutional changes that followed the 1960s reshaped American law, politics, class relations, and social expectations. Caldwell's central claim is that civil rights law and its later extensions did more than correct racial injustice. In his view, they created a new governing order that often conflicted with older constitutional assumptions about local authority, private association, and democratic self-rule. The book moves across constitutional law, electoral politics, feminism, immigration, elite philanthropy, economic change, and the rise of Donald Trump to explain why post-1960s America became increasingly polarized. It is not a neutral survey of recent history, but a forceful interpretation of modern America from the right, valuable for understanding a major conservative critique of liberal reform. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, civil rights law as a rival constitutional order. The book's most distinctive argument is that the civil rights revolution produced a rival constitutional order alongside the older American Constitution. Caldwell does not treat the Civil Rights Act of 1964 simply as one major statute among others. He argues that its enforcement mechanisms, judicial interpretations, and later expansions changed the practical meaning of American citizenship and authority. In the older constitutional model, political legitimacy flowed through representative government, federalism, and broad protections for private choice. In the newer order, legitimacy increasingly depended on eliminating discrimination and unequal outcomes, even when doing so required courts, agencies, employers, and institutions to override older liberties. This framing explains why Caldwell sees contemporary politics as more than ordinary partisan disagreement. For him, Americans now argue from incompatible premises about what justice requires and who has the authority to define it. Supporters of the civil rights regime see it as the fulfillment of American equality, while Caldwell emphasizes its costs to autonomy, pluralism, and democratic consent. The power of the argument lies in its constitutional scale, though critics dispute whether the book overstates the unity and novelty of this transformation. Secondly, freedom of association as the liberty Caldwell believes was displaced. A central mechanism in Caldwell's analysis is the decline of freedom of association. He treats association not as a narrow preference for private clubs, but as a foundational liberty that allowed communities, institutions, neighborhoods, and voluntary groups to define their own boundaries. In his account, civil rights enforcement weakened this freedom because anti-discrimination rules required private actors to accept standards set by law, courts, regulators, and eventually corporate compliance systems. Caldwell argues that once the state could compel integration in employment, education, housing, and public accommodations, the logic of anti-discrimination could be extended into many other domains of life. His examples include disputes over schooling, workplace rules, gender norms, and the social pressure placed on organizations that once operated according to inherited customs. The reasoning is that pluralism depends not only on formal equality before the law, but also on the ability of groups to remain distinct. Caldwell's critics respond that freedom of association had often protected exclusion and racial hierarchy. The book's importance comes from forcing the reader to confront this unresolved tension between anti-discrimination law and voluntary social self-organization. Thirdly, the unequal distribution of reform costs across class and generation, Caldwell repeatedly argues that the costs of post-1960s reform were not borne evenly. He is especially interested in how educated elites could embrace new moral and legal rules while insulating themselves from many of their disruptive effects. In his account, affluent Americans benefited from expanding professional opportunities, credentialed institutions, rising asset values, and the moral status attached to progressive social commitments. Working-class Americans, by contrast, were more likely to experience school disruption, labor market instability, neighborhood change, cultural disorientation, and declining social authority. Caldwell also makes the baby boom generation a major target of criticism. He portrays boomers as inheritors of extraordinary prosperity who accepted the moral prestige of the new civil rights order, while also demanding tax cuts, deregulation, and personal freedom from older obligations. This generational argument gives the book its title and links entitlement to more than government benefits. It refers to a broader claim on moral authority, wealth, and exemption from sacrifice, whether or not one accepts the indictment. The book offers a serious account of why resentment toward elites became a durable feature of late 20th and early 21st century politics. Fourthly, bureaucrats, courts, corporations, and philanthropy as engines of the new regime. Caldwell argues that the post-1960s order advanced not only through Congress and presidential politics, but also through courts, federal agencies, universities, foundations, employers, media organizations, and corporate compliance departments. This is crucial to his explanation of why conservative electoral victories often fail to reverse liberal social change. Once anti-discrimination norms became embedded in bureaucratic procedures, hiring rules, litigation risk, university administration, and philanthropic priorities, they could continue expanding regardless of which party held office. Caldwell is particularly critical of progressive philanthropy and elite nonprofit networks, which he sees as converting private wealth into political and cultural power while presenting that influence as public-spirited reform. He also notes that corporations often adopted civil rights norms for pragmatic reasons, including legal risk and reputational management, not simply moral conviction. The implication is that modern governance is partly dispersed through private and semi-private institutions. This institutional analysis distinguishes the book from simpler partisan histories because it explains cultural power as a network of law, money, prestige, and administrative habit. Lastly, post-1960s cultural conflict is the background to populist revolt. Caldwell uses the history of the last half century to explain why American politics became vulnerable to populist disruption. He connects civil rights law to later movements involving feminism, immigration, gay rights, multiculturalism, and race-conscious policy, arguing that each extended the authority of the post-1960s moral and legal framework. At the same time, he places these social changes beside economic transformations, such as deindustrialization, financialization, consumer technology, and the weakening of older working-class communities. The result, in his account, was a country in which many citizens felt that the official rules no longer recognized their losses, language, or status. Caldwell does not present Donald Trump as an accidental rupture. He treats Trump's rise as a symptom of accumulated distrust toward institutions that claimed to govern in the name of justice while appearing contemptuous of those who resisted them. This does not make the book a campaign history. Its focus is broader. It seeks to explain why post-war liberal legitimacy fractured and why many Americans came to believe that normal politics could no longer defend their interests or identity. In conclusion, The Age of Entitlement is best suited for readers interested in American political history, constitutional interpretation, conservative thought, and the origins of contemporary polarization. It will be most useful to readers who want to understand a serious right-of-center critique of the civil rights era and its long aftermath. Whether they ultimately agree with Caldwell or not, the book offers intellectual benefits rather than practical policy solutions. It clarifies how conflicts over equality, association, bureaucracy, elite authority, and class resentment can be seen as parts of one historical argument. Its value also lies in the way it challenges familiar liberal narratives that treat the reforms of the 1960s mainly as moral progress with manageable side effects. Compared with many books on recent American politics, it stands out because it does not begin with cable news, social media, or the Trump presidency. Instead, it traces today's conflicts to deep legal and institutional changes that Caldwell believes altered the structure of American life. The book is controversial, and readers should approach it critically, especially where its assessment of civil rights law conflicts with other historical interpretations. Still, its combination of constitutional argument, cultural history, and class analysis makes it an important text for understanding modern conservative dissatisfaction with the post-1960s liberal order. If you would like to support Christopher Caldwell, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.